across Northern Ireland, on your radio, and on BBC Sounds. This is The Stephen Nolan
Show! Well, this morning, a story breaking on Good Morning Ulster, and we turned it around to get your reaction on the phones and political reaction, and so it goes on. Pat Cullen, the former head of the Royal College of Nursing, just until a few weeks ago, throughout the whole of the UK, asked if she condemned the murder of nurses. The reaction that Pat gave certainly prompted a lot of response from a lot of people on the show this morning. Let's have a listen. The Stephen Nolan Show! Good morning. Pat Cullen was the head of the Royal College of Nursing in the UK until very recently. She's now standing as an election candidate. In 1987, the IRA planted a bomb in Enniskillen during a Remembrance Day ceremony. People were killed. People were blown up by that bomb, including nurses. So this morning on Good Morning Ulster, as part of the interviewing around election candidates, the Ulster Unionist Party candidate for Fermanagh and South Tyrone, Diana Armstrong, asked Pat Cullen about the condemnation, whether she was prepared to condemn the murder of nurses in Enniskillen. She also was asked if she agrees with the First Minister, Michelle O'Neill, when Michelle O'Neill said there was no alternative to the IRA's campaign of violence during the Troubles. Let's hear how that unfolded on Good Morning Ulster this morning.
Look, I've been clear. The alternative has been the Good Friday Agreement and the peace process. And look, I have worked as a nurse. I've said this as a community psychiatric nurse during the darkest, darkest days of our conflict in this north. And I never want to see us returning there. What the people are saying to me on the doorsteps of Fermanagh South Tyrone is, let's look to the future, bring hope, bring prosperity, bring change along to the people. They want to see us doing that, and I will do it.
You're shaking your head, Diana Armstrong. You've got 30 seconds.
I'm thinking of the nurses who perished in the Enniskillen bomb and the Omagh bomb, and I think we have yet to hear a condemnation of those two extreme attacks within this district. So, no, I'm not convinced. I've asked for clarification from Pat Cullen on her stance as to Sinn Féin and their affiliation with the IRA, and I'd like to hear a condemnation of those atrocities.
10 seconds.
Look, I've said very clearly, those were very dark days as a community nurse. I've held the hands of many people that have lived through those periods. I've felt, I've heard, and I've seen their trauma. I've seen what it does to them. Let's not go back there. Let's move forward and bring prosperity and hope to the people.
Let's not go back there. Specific answer to the specific question about a condemnation of the atrocities. And Pat Cullen fails to condemn the atrocities, which included the murder of nurses. We are currently in touch with the Royal College of Nursing to get a response from them. Specifically, we're getting political reaction today, and we will get your reaction to this breaking story. 03030 80 55 55. The daughter of a nurse killed by the IRA's Enniskillen bomb has hit out at what Pat Cullen has failed to do this morning. Pat Cullen, remember, the head of the Royal College of Nursing until she stepped down last week. In total, 12 people were murdered after that bombing in Enniskillen in 1987. Those who died included nurse Mary Wilson and retired senior nurse Alberta Quinton. Alberta's daughter, Ailing, joined me before we came on air this morning.
Well, it's horrible, but it's no surprise, because Sinn Féin IRA don't condemn the IRA. And one of the main reasons they don't condemn the IRA, well, it was there too, is that they think they support the IRA. But also, they don't have to condemn them because they get away with not condemning them. There are no consequences for them not condemning terrorism. And that's just an awful situation to be in this day and age.
Pat Cullen was the head of the biggest nursing organisation that she is. I want to just let everybody, including you, hear exactly what she was asked and exactly how she answered it.
Look, I've been clear. The alternative has been the Good Friday Agreement and the peace process. And look, I have worked as a nurse. I've said this as a community psychiatric nurse during the darkest, darkest days of our conflict in this north. And I never want to see us returning there. What the people are saying to me on the doorsteps of Fermanagh South Tyrone is, let's look to the future, bring hope, bring prosperity, bring change along to the people. They want to see us doing that, and I will do it.
You're shaking your head, Diane Armstrong. You've got 30 seconds.
I'm thinking of the nurses who perished in the Enniskillen bomb and the Oma bomb, and I think we have yet to hear a condemnation of those two extreme attacks within this district. So, no, I'm not convinced. I've asked for clarification from Pat Cullen on her stance as to Sinn Féin and their affiliation with the IRA, and I'd like to hear a condemnation of those atrocities.
10 seconds.
Look, I've said very clearly, those were very dark days as a community nurse. I've held the hands of many people that have lived through those periods. I've felt, I've heard, and I've seen their trauma. I've seen what it does to them. Let's not go back there. Let's move forward and bring prosperity and hope to the people.
Asked specifically, Aileen, about a condemnation of those atrocities, including the murder of nurses, and Pat Cullen says, let's not go back there.
Yeah, I mean, again, this is typical, and people kind of dismiss this as the past, but it is in the present that she is failing to condemn the IRA. This is a part of the present, and how you deal with the past is part of the present and sets the frame for the future. So we should be going into the future with an understanding and acceptance amongst people standing to be public representatives that terrorism was not okay. Very basic fundamental point that just doesn't seem to happen in our society. And just thank God for the pushback she was given. Because it's hard to listen to that. But it was healing to hear the response from, I presume that was Diana.
Yes, it was. Your mother was a nurse. For someone who just a few months ago was the head of the nursing union in Northern Ireland, what would you say directly to Pat Cullen this morning in how she responded?
I don't try and address people like that. It's just too distressing for me. I just do not understand it. It is awful. I would like to say, though, of course, of the other people that were murdered in Enniskillen and all the other innocent people who've been murdered, even if they weren't nurses, they didn't deserve to be murdered either. But yeah, it is an extra pain that somebody, that part of her brand in terms of being put forward for this is about her role and her success in that role. And it is just horrible. It really just is horrible.
How many years was your mother a nurse?
Well, I mean, that was her kind of first and only career. She, you know, when she was in the RAS, you know, nursing, then she, you know, and after the war, she came back, and it was a choice between Singapore or Enniskillen because she was a Donegal woman. And then she came to Enniskillen. She carried on nursing after she married and had four children. She carried on her nursing career as a nursing sister. And Jesse Johnson, who was murdered along with her and Jesse's ambulance man husband Kit, were friends of hers. That's when they were all just talking there, just, you know, before getting into position for the Remembrance Day commemorations to start.
People,
she was a nurse through and through. She was a nurse even when she wasn't on duty. She was that kind of caring nature.
People within Sinn Féin and Pat Cullen herself would talk about the future. Finally, Aileen, they would talk about how they are trying to make Northern Ireland, which was such a divided society, a better place now. and that people like Pat Cullen and others within Sinn Féin, that their focus is about maintaining peace now. Do you accept that?
No, I don't, because real peace has concepts of justice at its core. And this is about the future. As I said, how you deal with the past is part of today's reality, and it sets the framework for the future. So let the future be based on the principle that murder is wrong.
Eileen, thank you very much indeed. Thank you. Pat Cullen, this morning, talking about during that era, as a nurse, she saw and witnessed the holding of hands of people, the trauma of people that were in hospitals from all sides of the community. So the obvious question was, does she condemn the actions of the people? The obvious question is, when she saw that trauma, when she saw all of that pain, why could she not bring herself this morning to condemn the violence that killed nurses? Political reaction this morning and your reaction this morning. 03030 80 55 55. Or is that type of condemnation not important in a society where many people have many different views, many people still share the same level of pain? Peter and Carrickfergus, let's get all of your reaction this morning. You're the first call of the day. Need you to have your radio off in the background, Peter? Please. Let me remind you of the number while you're doing that. 03030 80 55 55. Go ahead, Peter. Good morning.
Well, I just think it's a total disgrace that anybody, what she did, what her job was, would want to be connected to any political party that was capable of murdering people the way she
does.
The
political party didn't murder anyone, and Sinn Féin have a significant mandate, and Sinn Féin have a mandate to maintain peace in Northern Ireland.
They also have a few hundred letters saying they're not going to be charged with murders that some people committed. So, you know, Stephen, and to say it's about moving forward, where do they move forward? Everything you hear, they're going back about 50 years ago. What about this? What about Peter was out trying to kill somebody and the soldiers killed him? Hard to do you ever want to inquire? So where do they move forward? They don't believe in moving forward. And she's not the first person in this place. I remember you going back to David Dunseith, Cuilíne Rian. Was West Belfast.
We're not talking about Cuilíne Rian this morning, and we're not going to. We're sticking to the story that we're doing today. This is a breaking story. That interview happened within the last 30, 40 minutes on Good Morning Ulster today. We're getting your reaction. How do you feel given the question that was asked and how Pat Cullen responded? A former nurse being asked about the murder of other nurses.
Well, she should have said what any decent person would have done, says, I condemn it. Simple as. You know, at the end of the day, that's all. Sure, she was talking, Stephen. She didn't speak like a sinner because she struggled to say the North and a few things that they're quite common to say. And, you know, she obviously forgot to say Northern Ireland anymore. Listen, nothing surprised the largest people anymore about anybody. They only want to move forward when it suits them.
Pat Cullen was the chief executive and the general secretary of the Royal College of Nursing across the United Kingdom. That's why how the Royal College of Nursing respond this morning will be very, very interesting. She was asked about the murder of nurses. So let's see how the RCN respond this morning and how other nurses respond this morning and the wider community. 03030 80 55 55. What we've done over the last 30, 40 minutes straight after that Good Morning Ulster interview is we've reached out to all the main political parties and we've asked them if they want to come on and tell you about their response. Tom Elliott has been put up by the Ulster Unionist Party. Good morning to you, Tom.
Good morning, Stephen.
What's your reaction?
Well, Diana Armstrong is away to meet actually the Royal College or the Regional College of Nursing for a formal meeting today, and that's where she's away to at the moment, probably taking place at the moment. But I do think Pat Cullen had a huge opportunity this morning to state quite clearly that she condemns, that she didn't like and she doesn't support her party leader's stance that there was no alternative to the violence, and she didn't do it, which is unfortunate. And I thought with a new candidate coming in, fresh person that hasn't been...
Well, she described those days as dark days.
Absolutely. There were, of course, there were dark days, Stephen, but the victims of this community and society need to hear that that was wrong. You can't move forward without knowing that the people that carried those out were wrong, and that the people in public authority and public places will say that. You can't, there's no hiding place in this, Stephen, whatsoever. I see Pat Cullen a couple of weeks ago described it as equal on both sides, that both communities suffered.
I would need to see that quote. I haven't seen that quote myself.
But that's not right, Stephen. Actually, the two sides in this were the innocent victims and the perpetrators. The perpetrators were the people who went out and deliberately murdered Aileen Quinton's mother and others without recognition of what their family was going to go through or what the individuals were going to go through. And then you have the innocent victims who were the people who suffered and are still suffering from those days. And they need to hear clearly from the public representatives that that was wrong. There's no hiding place. There's no question about this. It was wrong.
You were in power with Sinn Féin for many, many years, for decades.
Yeah, but I think the point is we still need to hear that it was wrong. You can be in power and you can share responsibility in government, but that's not excluding the situation that it was wrong. And we still need to hear from them that it was wrong. So, obviously, what we want to do, yes, is move Northern Ireland forward to be a better place for everyone. And everybody wants that. But we do need to hear that they were wrong. And that still hasn't come forward. And, you know, we have challenged Michelle O'Neill on several times. We have challenged Sinn Féin on a regular basis. You know, and I'm not sure when Pat Cullen became a member of Sinn Féin. It'd be interesting to know that, if she has been a member for some time or if she's only recently became a member, Stephen.
I'm going to stop you for a moment, Tom. Beth has contacted us. You're the first nurse that's contacted us within the last 20 minutes with this breaking story, Beth. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen. Thanks for talking about this, because I think it's really important. You know, Pat Cullen throughout her career in the RCN has made a point of, you know, placing value upon nurses and in terms of pay awards and, you know, working conditions. Her common theme has been the value of nurses in our society. And I just feel that, you know, it's a bit of a slap in the face to us nurses now that she's, you know, running for political office, that she can't continue to place the value on nurses by condemning the murder of nurses. And I think to the nursing kind of culture in Northern Ireland, it is a bit of a blow.
How long have you been in nursing?
I have been a nurse for over 10 years now. I love my job. I love my patients. I'm just disappointed to hear Pat Cullen being unwilling to condemn it and kind of talking around the subject instead of directly hitting it in the core.
So let's just let everyone hear again, to be fair to all sides in this, and listen specifically for the question about the condemnation of atrocities. Those atrocities included the Enniskillen bomb. Nurses were killed in the Enniskillen bomb. And the person who was the chief executive of the Royal College of Nursing until just weeks ago, let's see how she responded. So let's listen to this one more time.
Look, I've been clear. The alternative has been the Good Friday Agreement and the peace process. And look, I have worked as a nurse. I've said this as a community psychiatric nurse during the darkest days of our conflict in this north. And I never want to see us returning there. What the people are saying to me on the doorsteps of Fermanagh South Tyrone is, let's look to the future, bring hope, bring prosperity, bring change along to the people. They want to see us doing that, and I will do it.
You're shaking your head, Diane Armstrong. You've got 30 seconds.
I'm thinking of the nurses who perished in the Enniskillen bomb and the Oma bomb, and I think we have yet to hear a condemnation of those two extreme attacks within this district. So, no, I'm not convinced. I've asked for clarification from Pat Cullen on her stance as to Sinn Féin and their affiliation with the IRA, and I would like to hear a condemnation of those atrocities.
10 seconds. Look, I've said very clearly, those were very dark days as a community nurse. I've held the hands of many people that have lived through those periods. I've felt, I've heard, and I've seen their trauma. I've seen what it does to them. Let's not go back there. Let's move forward and bring prosperity and hope to the people.
Now, the Uma bomb was not the IRA that was mentioned there. The Enniskillen bomb absolutely was. She was asked specifically to condemn those specific atrocities. So the specific killing of nurses by the IRA, the murder of nurses by the IRA in Enniskillen, and she fails to condemn it, Beth. As someone who's probably held hands like Pat Cullen and witnessed the pain and the human tragedy of murder, what is your reaction this morning?
I mean, I just think, I work in quite a socially deprived area where a lot of families are still impacted by the Troubles and have had family members, you know, very negatively impacted by it. And I just think that Pat Cullen needs to be very careful in placing a lot of her value in running for office on her experience as a nurse if she's not willing to stand up for nurses that were murdered. You know, she's kind of promoting this unique selling point of, oh, I'm a nurse and I have all this experience. And of course, that is true, but you can't push that in people's faces and then in the next second be unwilling to condemn the murder of your colleagues. You know, I just think if that's what she wants to place so much value on herself with, she needs to consider how that will come across to the nursing community in Northern Ireland that she's not willing to condemn, no matter what your political affiliation is. You know, if you cannot condemn the murder of your colleagues in a profession of caring, it just, it's a big question mark over your integrity as a person, in my opinion.
Mick Fealty, the editor of Sligo Tool, with us this morning. Good morning, Mick. Well, we were expecting the question to be asked. That's the answer that was given, and you're hearing the reaction already today.
Yeah, this is a very tricky one for Pat, not least because it comes the day after a very sombre and moving commemoration of the murder at the Heights Bar in Loughlin Island. You know, some of what happened in the past is so traumatic that those people, and not just the people, but the generation that come afterwards, you know, children, grandchildren, they still feel it in their bodies. The injustice of it, but just the sheer trauma of it, that it's transgenerational. And to say, or to ask people, just simply to move on and focus on the future, it's just not reasonable. It's not reasonable in the case of Loughlin Island, and it's certainly not reasonable in the case of those people affected by the Enniskillen bombing. I think, as your last caller said there, the difficulty is that if you're going to sell yourself on your considerable experience, in the case of Pat Cullen, experience not simply as a nurse, but standing up for nurses and pay and condition in circumstances where nurses are absolutely pushed to the absolute limit on a daily basis, then you've got to expect that these kinds of questions are going to come back, particularly when this was such a signal event, I think, for Fermanagh South Tyrone and for the cross-community relationships, which in Enniskillen have traditionally been very good. You know, this is just something you have to expect, and expecting people to take a kind of a standard answer from the party, I don't think is enough.
Well, Sinn Féin would have gamed this answer out, you would have thought. I think as soon as people heard that interview with Sarah Brett was happening this morning, everybody was waiting for that question. It came towards the end of the interview. So that answer is presumably, and look, maybe it's wrong for me to presume, Mick, but it would be extraordinary if Pat had not thought that question would be coming. It would be extraordinary if Sinn Féin had not thought about that question coming. And so the answer from, if that is true, from the party and from Pat Cullen is, let's not look at the past, let's look to the future. They were dark days. No condemnation of the murder of nurses by the former head of the Royal College of Nursing throughout the UK. That's the story.
Well, look, I mean, she's standing as a Sinn Féin candidate, and she, therefore she has really major obligations towards the party to stand by the party's position, articulated by no less a figure than the First Minister herself. So it's unreasonable to think that she could come up with some clever way of parsing this and come up with something that would be easily get past the sort of inquiry here. And I think the issue, if we set aside all the moral issues and all the issues of hurt and all the rest of it, just look at this as a plain and simple political problem. The problem here is that Sinn Féin will say, right, you have to be consistent, Pat. You've got to push this out. But the problem is, it's creating a degree of anger, even in some cases, perhaps outrage. And in politics, as we've seen, particularly in Northern Ireland, outrage drives votes, and that's a thing. That's a really practical thing that I don't think Sinn Féin has anticipated. Whether they've gamed the whole situation or not, I'm not sure they have, and that might actually turn. That might turn a lot of unionists back onto voting, because there's been a slackness in terms of turnout in unionist areas over nationalist areas, and that could be a problem when it comes down to polling day.
Beth, you're a nurse. You're still with us this morning. We only contacted the RCN at 9 o'clock today, so let's give them some time to respond.
Yes.
Are you in the Royal College of Nursing?
Yeah, I'm. That's my union. I'm with them. I've done several training events with them. I have subscribed to them since I qualified as a nurse.
How do you expect them to respond to this? What would you like to hear from your union about this?
I expect nothing other than them to completely condemn it and, you know, to stand aside from Pat Cullen in their views. I think it's going to be a difficult one for them because she was in such a senior role within the organisation for so long. But I feel that she has let nurses down in what she's saying, and I really hope that the RCN do not. Because if they're the largest nursing union, and I would worry that they would become not the largest nursing union if they weren't to have a very strong response on this, because as your previous caller says, like, you know, this goes through generations. They keep talking about the past, but people in Northern Ireland, you don't have to go very far to find people that will say that they're still greatly impacted you know, by these events. So I don't think that we can just put it down to the past. I think this is a very current problem. I think Pat Cullen has made a bit of a mistake here. She thinks that she can get nurses on side. I think she's very much pushed us to the other side now.
Beth, there will be many nurses who support Sinn Féin. There will be many nurses who are outraged by what the British state did to mm-hmm. Republicans over many years, and mm-hmm. they yeah. will feel that Sinn Féin have the best chance of representing them and yeah. recognising what happened in the past to people in their community.
Yeah, no, and listen, I totally understand and accept that point. My point is that the whole kind of campaign with Pat Cullen centres around her significant experience as a nurse, and, you know, that she can relate to people and can fight for people from that point of view. But you can't market that the way she is and then on the flip side of things, you know, not condemn the murder of colleagues. You know, I don't think it's a very simple fact that we can't move beyond. You know, and I think she's very quickly, you know, jumped from allegiance with nurses to allegiance to Sinn Féin, which is understandable. You know, she's standing for them, but I just think that she needs to change her stance, because you know, nursing in Northern Ireland today is difficult, and we're still facing some of the same challenges that she talks about facing. You know, the trauma that people have dealt with, you know, the support that we need to give them, and it feels personal, you know, hearing her not condemn the murder of nurses.
Well, now, Paul in Andersonstown has a different perspective. We'll hear from Paul in just a second after the news from the BBC. The Stephen Nolan Show! Good morning. Breaking story of the last hour. Pat Cullen was interviewed on Good Morning Ulster this morning and failed when asked to condemn the IRA's murder of nurses. Pat Cullen, the former head of the Royal College of Nursing throughout the UK. Paul in Andersonstown, you take a different perspective than what we've heard our last contributor say. What's your perspective, Paul?
Morning, Stephen. I just think what we're seeing this morning is selective faux outrage on the part of some of your contributors this morning. I'm not talking about your nursing contributor, Beth. I'm talking about the people that was on beforehand, namely Tom Elliott. I think we're seeing, it's a chance to give Sinn Féin and Pat Cullen a kick in this morning. That's what I see this happening.
Well, it's an opportunity
selective outrage.
Well, it's an opportunity for all of us, not including me, but everybody else, to give an opinion. So, what is your opinion, Paul? No, don't ask me about my opinion because I won't give it. But what is your opinion?
I'm not asking your opinion, Stephen. I'm not asking your opinion. Now, I didn't hear your program yesterday morning with work and what have you. Did you cover the Loch Ann Island anniversary yesterday?
We did, yes.
You did. And did you have unionist commentators coming on demanding things are corrected and, you know, putting their two bobs in?
Well, Paul, go back on BBC Sounds and you can hear the programme. In terms of today's programme, for the person that was in charge of nursing, representing nursing throughout the UK, how do you feel that she did not condemn the murder of nurses?
Pat Cullen said that there were very dark days. And
she did. Well, obviously
back.
There were very dark
no
days.
No one wants to go back to that.
Correct.
But that's about the future.
That's about now. Yes. But in terms of the condemnation of murdering nurses, she failed to condemn it when asked. Do you think that she was right to do so?
Stephen, Pat Cullen answered the question the way Pat Cullen answered. What I see here is it's being selective. People are being selective in their conduct, seeking condemnation. They're being selective. They're seeing an opportunity for a gotcha moment. And they got a gotcha moment this morning. And that's what this is all about.
But is it a gotcha moment?
What I will confidently predict and bank this, Pat Cullen will romp home in Fermanagh South Tyrone. Because this, as with all attempts at previous smears of politicians, will backfire.
This will
galvanise voters in Fermanagh South Tyrone to vote for the Sinn Féin candidate. That's what will come out of this. Not the likes of Tom Elliott, who, let's not forget, belonged to an organisation up to its neck in sectarian murder. Let's not forget that.
Yeah, you're talking about the UDR. Of course.
An organisation up to its neck, including in areas in Fermanagh South Tyrone. Let's not forget that.
Paul, thank you very much indeed. There's absolutely, categorically, no suggestion that Tom Elliott was associated with any of that. Categorically, no suggestion. Tom in Belfast. Morning, Tom.
Morning, Stephen. I think the question is here, what sort of a person is it that cannot condemn the murder of innocent nurses out doing whatever they were doing? And any reasonable, decent person with any decency within them would condemn this. And the fact that Ms. Cullen or Mrs. Cullen hasn't condemned it, I think it says a lot about what sort of a person she might be.
Well, you've just heard Paul in Andersonstown. He's still here. He's actually said that this will galvanise the vote around her.
I really don't care. And I, as a unionist, wouldn't expect nothing else. Because let's not forget, over during all the troubled times in the past, whenever the IRA were murdering men, women and children, babies in prams on the Shankill Road, don't forget, that the size of a couple of bags of sugar. Unfortunately, people went out and voted for this, which I can't understand. But they did. So
Paul, can you explain the tone?
I certainly won't be surprised.
Can I explain the tone? What, Stephen?
Why you think this will galvanise a vote around Pat Cullen? Explain to him.
Well, Stephen, all you have to do is look at any electoral cycle here before, and the smearing of candidates has backfired. It's backfired.
Well, we're not smearing anybody. What we're doing is getting reaction to a public interview.
Stephen,
Stephen.
The community I come from look at it completely differently. Because we have been smeared for decades and decades and decades.
Stephen.
Yes,
we've been smeared for decades.
I'd like to ask this fellow, Paul. I think that Mrs. Cullen is smearing herself here by refusing to condemn the murder of innocent young women who were out doing nobody no harm. If there was any decency in that woman, I would imagine she'd come on and say, right, whatever she wants to think about it, but yes, it's worth a condemnation. And I personally, must be tens of thousands of people will not be surprised that this will galvanise Mrs. Cullen's vote. I have absolutely no doubt about it. Because people voted for people when they were murdering the likes of Jean McConville, putting bombs around Belfast on a Friday, blowing people up in Clonmel. So there's going to be no surprise at that. The question I'm asking is there any decency inside that woman, Mrs. Cullen?
So
she pretended to represent them people.
No, she didn't. She didn't pretend anything. She did represent them and was a very powerful negotiator on behalf of nurses throughout Northern Ireland. There was certainly no pretending. Ben Laurie joining us from the newsletter this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ben.
Just a couple of things that I'd like to say in response to what Paul said there. The first thing is, he was talking about unionist commentators. The Loch Inn Island attack 30 years ago was one of the most heinous atrocities of the Troubled Spy loyalist terrorists massacring people on the basis of their religion, watching TV, watching a World Cup game. It was utterly obscene. So I don't want the two issues to become entangled. Let me tell you why I think this is so significant. Sorry, actually, there's something else that Paul said that I believe needs to be challenged. He was talking about the UDR and up to their neck and sectarian murder. I think he was implying, he may or may not have said particularly in the Western Northern Ireland. I think everybody listening to this needs to know some statistics about Fermanagh in the Troubles. They're very stark. There were 116 people killed in the Troubles in Fermanagh. 101 were by Republican terrorists. 99 of those were IRA, almost all IRA. 7 were by the security forces. 5 were by loyalists. And 3 of other causes, people drowning and stuff after an incident. Fermanagh, where the minority Protestant population suffered one of the most sectarian onslaughts of the Troubles, there was almost no retaliation. We hear so much from what Paul's saying, from very many people about collusion and so on. It's become clearly the dominant theme of the Troubles, that the general statistics of the Troubles have been lost, which is 60% of people who were killed by Republican terrorists, 30% by Loyalist terrorists, 10% by state forces. I believe, looking at the state forces killings, most of them were legal, although tragic. Overwhelmingly legal, overwhelmingly tragic. So that's very, very important when he's muddying the waters by talking about the UDR in Fermanagh. If they were up to their necks in sectarian slaughter, where was it in Fermanagh? That's very important. And then that's why this is so important with regard to Pat Cullen. And by the way, the newsletter asked Pat Cullen about this last month, and she didn't reply. We went to Sinn Féin. We tried to get hold of her personally. We put up the story. We didn't say she refused to say. We thought about saying that she had refused to answer, but we said she had declined to answer in case she would come back. But she just ignored us. She just ignored our newspaper when we said this. And she sidestepped the question today because she wasn't going to ignore a BBC interview. And the last thing I'd say, Stephen, is this. There are 5 reasons. I've been thinking, it's been gestating in my head.
Ben, can I just before, and sorry for cutting across you, but I do think it's right for me to read the full list of candidates for Fermanagh and South Tyrone, and you will understand why I'm doing that. Dan Armstrong for the Ulster Unionist Party, Paul Blake for the SDLP, Gerry Cullen, Cross Community Labour Alternative, Pat Cullen, Sinn Féin, Carl Duffy, A2, Eddie Roof in the Alliance Party, and we have reached out to the political parties and given them an opportunity to come onto the programme if they want to react this morning. We're still waiting to hear, and this will be a significant answer. How will the Royal College of Nursing answer? They've been asked by us for their reaction to what Pat Cullen has failed to do this morning, namely condemn the murder of nurses.
And by the way, another thing that Paul was saying gleefully, he thinks she'll romp home. And I think a lot of unionists would feel, as Tom was saying, that yes, Sinn Féin never seemed to be damaged by these things. They did overstretch themselves with regard to Fermanagh and South Tyrone when they thought that moving the MP south of the border would result in them easily getting an MEP seat, and then humiliatingly, Michelle Gildernew didn't even get the fifth seat.
Let's stick with this story this morning, if you don't mind.
But I just think that since Paul was saying that, I think it was fair. But sorry, Stephen, there are five key reasons, I think, in summary, why this is a particular question for Pat Cullen. The first is the general question that Sinn Féin has a relationship with what most people, I think, still would call a terrorist organisation that no other political party has, having been inextricably linked to the IRA. And that's why it's a generally specific question for Sinn Féin. The second is the IRA's record in Fermanagh, which I just cited. 90% of deaths there were Republican terrorists, and overwhelmingly they were almost, except one or two, they were IRA rather than other Republican groups. The third is that in the Enniskillen bomb, three nurses are killed. Okay, we've heard a lot about that. I won't say any more about that. The fourth reason why it's a particular question for Pat Cullen is there is no party that has raked over the past like Sinn Féin. There is no movement that has done this. Loyalists haven't done it. Ex-security forces haven't done it. Ex-IRA victims haven't done it. And so on, and other parties didn't. I have often said that when I joined the newsletter in 2007, no one was interested in raking over the past. They specifically, and I think vindictively, have chased through the courts at massive expense, funded by UK taxpayers, the security forces. I'm talking about the broader Republican movement, have done that. And then the fifth reason, Stephen, is this was somebody who, as Beth so powerfully pointed out, is herself a nurse. This is somebody who was not only head of the Royal College of Nursing, but was a shrill, you could say effective, a defender of nurses, and never slow to point out the moral goodness of nurses, with which we all agree. Think of my late parents tended by nurses, and that everybody will have their own story. And she has made that the forefront of her career. And yet when asking not only about the violence generally, but asked about the specific murder of nurses at a remembrance service, she just talks generically about the dark past.
Mick Fieldy.
Well, look, you know, I think I mentioned earlier that outrage drives votes. So I think your caller from Andersonstown's got a point there. One of the reasons why Fermanagh and South Tyrone has been throughout history, or certainly through electoral history, has been a kind of a cockpit for sectarian contesting is that although the populations are not equal and certainly no longer anywhere close to equal, this is one of the few constituencies where there is a political interface between unionism and nationalism. And as we've seen with the outrage that followed the DUP's mishandling of RHI, outrage can work to motivate a voter's base to get out. Now, I think Paul's assumption is that it will only work on the Republican side. I think there is a genuine sense when you think this is a minority community, and you know, I have no reason to dispute any of the statistics that Ben's just quoted. And you know, a minority that has not been treated well by what is now an established majority of nationalists. There's a thing here for nationalism to really sit down and think about its own plans for the future, about you know, what kind of United Ireland is it advocating for people to come into, of all religions and none, if it cannot find its within itself to act decently towards that minority community, but also those people, you know, perhaps represented by Alliance, perhaps represented by more moderate nationalist party like SDLP. Like, what is it they're asking of the wider population if they cannot allow Pat Cullen to say what I suspect she wants to say, but cannot say because she's now taken on the responsibility?
Well, you don't know that. You're making presumptions about an individual. You do not know that.
No, I don't know it. But what I'm saying is I'm trying to distinguish between Pat Cullen, a woman who's given her life to nursing, both as a nurse on the front line and someone who has advocated for them. I think it's not an unreasonable thing to speculate that she herself may want to say something other than what she's had to say, because what she said is said through the obligation she now has to her new party. So I think there's a deeper question here for national, not just Sinn Féin, but for nationalism more generally. What is the offering here to people who are not yet subscribed to the grand projet of acquiring a United Ireland?
There's so many different elements to this story. Of course, there is the election itself. Of course, there is the territory you're talking about, Mick, which is a First Minister, Michelle O'Neill, and the party that she leads saying that she's a First Minister for all, and the party and unionists would be safe within a United Ireland. There's all of that. Then there actually is the nursing community, the medical community, the Royal College of Nursing, and what they might say. Professor John Tong joins us regularly, looking through the numbers, looking through how elections might play out. And it was the Ulster Unionist Party candidate who asked the question about the condemnation, John. And it was her question that Pat Cullen failed to answer. Will that this story become the focus of that election campaign in that area? Because they talked about a lot more in that interview. They talked about, you know, hospitals and acute services and all of that as well.
I agree. It will certainly be, the question will certainly be the focus of the campaign. But I also agree with Mick that outrage has never cost parties votes in Northern Ireland. And in that sense, yeah, there are echoes of what Paul from Andersonstown said, who immediately talked about the UDR. When Pat Cullen's candidature was announced, everyone, certainly in nationalist circles, hailed it as a coup. I didn't actually see it that way, and I was on record as saying, I don't think it will actually make any difference. There's a very, very loyal Sinn Féin vote within that constituency, which turns out in almost identical numbers each time. There's a very, very loyal Ulster Unionist Party vote in that constituency. They'll turn out. It's a question of who, you know, we're talking really fine margins. The majority was, what, 57 last time. It's a question of which party can get the vote out on the day. I mean, Pat Cullen was always going to get this question, given her background, and it is a very different political arena. It's one thing, being belligerent on behalf of nurses for more pay, which will attract an awful lot of sympathy, but you're always going to get the question thrown at you, given what happened in that constituency. That was an inevitable question. I'm sure Sinn Féin had prepared her for it. And it represents one of the two taboos for Sinn Féin. There are two taboos. One, they still won't condemn what the Provisional IRA did. And secondly, they won't take seats at Westminster. I don't see either of those particular things changing during this campaign, for sure, and longer term. That can obviously provoke a lot of outrage on the Unionist side, but I simply don't think it will change. I don't think this row will make a difference to the election outcome, which will be very, very tight again, because people on the Sinn Féin side will still go out and vote for Sinn Féin, regardless of who the candidate is. Whether it's, you know, you can argue why was Michelle Gildon allowed to head south? Was that a mistake given the outcome there? You can make a case for that. Getting Pat Cullen was a particular coup, but I don't think it's damaging for Sinn Féin either. And then on the Ulster Unionist side, you know, Unionists will turn out in droves for their candidate. I think that the net effect will be negative. But this was always going to be a row within the campaign, given Pat Cullen's background.
Declan's in Derry. Good morning, Declan.
Good morning, Stephen. Stephen, I thought I would ring in. I'm hearing a lot of bad language, and not bad language, but you see the way people are talking to one another. Like you use the word condemn. You know, once people start condemning people, then you're condemning yourself. People need to start learning.
You wouldn't feel comfortable condemning the murder of nursing, would you not? Nurses.
That's condemning them. Why you don't condemn anybody?
You wouldn't condemn somebody that murders a nurse.
No, I can't do that, Stephen, because I'm a sinner too. I've sinned, so I can't condemn anybody.
You wouldn't. Do you think murdering a nurse is right?
No murder's right, Stephen.
I'm not talking about any murder. I'm talking specifically Enniskillen and a bomb that blew up nurses. And someone that was heading up a nursing organisation till a few weeks ago is asked to condemn it.
Stephen, I'm 43 years of age now, right? You see, when you look back, I look at my children now, and they're in their young teens, or late teens, nearly early 20s. And when you look back at the conflict, you'll see most people involved in the conflict were only young children. And they were, when you take on their ages, they were all conditioned from a young age. So they didn't know what they were actually doing. And I'm sure the people that did that and planted any bombs or killed anybody, as they go to their bed at night and think about what they've done and still try and live their life.
Peter's in Banbridge next. Morning, Peter. Thank you, Declan. Morning, Peter.
Hello. Yes, Stephen. No, you've covered a lot of subjects this morning. And you're giving everybody... First point I will make, I want to address something you said, but I don't have to speak for that lady, Pat Collins. She can well speak for herself, I don't say. But a couple of things. You mentioned a divided society at the beginning of the show. And who divided this society?
Well, let's not play some type of quiz show this morning, Peter. Just make your point for me.
Well, my point is that Britain divided this society, and then that's a fact. And are they going to apologise for that?
Peter, thank you. Ben Laurie, where do you see this story going next?
Well, I think that the fact that, you know, we were one of the few people to ask this question, and when we asked the question was more than 3 weeks ago, or at least 3 weeks ago, and it wasn't answered, and there wasn't a lot of interest in it. And, you know, we've had callers, and we've had John Tong confirming this and make that it probably won't harm Sinn Féin. Doesn't seem these questions don't seem to harm them, so it's difficult to know. I just think it's my point was that it's legitimate to ask and legitimate to draw deductions from the failure to answer. And I can't accept this idea that Mick was saying that there's some honour in her new position, meaning that she, you know, she might want to say it. She's a strong media performer. She could have stood up and said, she could have sidestepped it in a different way and said, let me make clear my complete abhorrence of the Enniskillen bomb and the massacre of people and civilians at a remembrance service, including nurses. And she didn't.
Mick?
Eve, to be honest. The truth is that if you decide, look, when you're employed by the RCN or a health trust, that's one thing, right? And particularly when you're head of a trade union, it's really clear, I think, as Beth said, you know, that what she's advocating for and the public support for that advocacy is self-evident. Once you change horses, you're on a horse, and there are now limits to what you can actually say. So, you know, I'm not saying that what she might have said should count.
Not necessarily, Mick. You look at the DUP and how there were very big beasts within the DUP when Sir Geoffrey Donaldson was supporting the New Deal. The likes of Sammy Wilson, Nigel Dodds, Lord Morrow were speaking out against them. You can choose what you say as an individual if you make that choice.
I think that's true of the culture of some political parties, DUP being one, Sinn Féin being another, seeing candidates taking up different positions in the last European elections in the South. But as far as Sinn Féin is concerned, that is just not simply something that we have ever seen.
We're going to have to leave it there. Mick, thank you. Ben Laurie, thank you. Professor
this
John Tong, thank you.
The Stephen Nolan Show.
Good morning, everyone. 030 30 80 55 55 is the number to call this morning. There's a cliff edge drop in opportunities for young people with disabilities in Northern Ireland. That's the claim of a mother fighting for the rights of her son at a protest at Stormont this morning. Alma is just one of a group of parents of children with special educational needs who are calling on the executive to increase provision for special needs pupils after 19 years of age. They're campaigning for similar services to what there is in England, where a young person with a statement of needs is entitled to a plan to be put in place until they are 25. Alma is with us this morning. Alma, good morning.
Good morning.
So you're the mum, Alma, of Caleb, who
that's
is
right.
16 and goes to Harberton in Belfast.
That's right. Yes, that's right. So I started a campaign about 2 months ago. Basically, when Caleb approached his 16th birthday, I discovered that when he is 19, his statement of special educational need becomes void. And then I discovered that actually there's absolutely nothing in place after that, unlike England and Wales, who have legislation in place to provide a plan to replace that. We do not have anything here in Northern Ireland, so there's no legislation to hold the government to do anything for our young people past the age of 19.
So what happens at 19?
Well, good question. I think at the minute in Northern Ireland, at 19, the onus is really pushed on a lot of our wonderful charities that we have, so such as MenCap, Stepping Stones, Positive Futures, Orchard Bell. They fill, and there's many more that I haven't mentioned, by the way, but they're trying to provide support to parents and opportunities for our young people. The problem with that is that you can't meet the demand of the children that and the young people that are coming through at 19. So a lot of people, well, a lot of young people at 19, I'm hearing from parents that they don't have anything and that some are actually sitting at home. And it's just, you know, there needs to be a plan for each child and their own individual profile. Children vary in needs, as we know, and that really needs to be accommodated.
What will be the implication for you, the impact on you?
The impact on me will be Caleb, if I don't find the right fit, he will be at home with me. I will not be able to work. So I work 2 days actually in a special school. I'm a classroom assistant with complex special needs. I've been qualified for years, and it means that I will have to give that up, along with just my life will change considerably. And I love Caleb, and of course he's my child. But I really shouldn't be put in that position to actually do that in the first place. I mean, it's 2024 and we're sitting here going, why are we even in this situation? And many parents are the same. So my cause is, yes, it's for Caleb, but it's for all young people with disabilities, because a lot of our families are all in the same boat. So we're in it together.
You've already met with Michelle O'Neill. You'll be meeting with Conor Murphy.
Yes, that's right. So, yes, I met with First Minister on Monday. She has pledged her support to our campaign. What that means going forward, we will hash out. I think she knows I'm not going to let this drop. I will be meeting with Minister Conor Murphy this afternoon after the protest, actually. And I have some questions to put to him, and I'm looking for a plan going forward. And really, as far as I'm aware, at 19, our children are under the responsibility of the Department of Economy because they're for further education. But really, we need a departmental collaboration with health and also education. So,
well, you mentioned education. You're meeting Michelle O'Neill, the First Minister. You're meeting Conor Murphy. Why are you not meeting Paul Given, the Education Minister?
Good question. So I do have a meeting with Paul Given that came up very in the last couple of days. So he wants to meet next Tuesday. So I will be meeting with him. I think there's a view that when our children reach 19, that they're no longer under the authority of education, under that remit. That's what I kind of have been told. So my feeling is, well, their education. It should be a plan that's put together with all these departments. But yes, I have been told that it's not so much education.
So we, Alma, we know, look, age 18, young people go off to either a job or an apprenticeship, further training in the workplace, further training in the likes of university, studying in university. And the opportunities at that age, they're very formative years, aren't they?
They are.
What will children with special education needs be doing if there's no special facilities put in place by our society for them? What are their options?
Their options are charities will step in and do their best to help. But what usually happens, and I do want to reiterate that charities are wonderful and they're doing the very best that they can, but because of the demand that's come through, there are only a certain amount of places. At Belfast Met, a very good model that is run. I phoned them to find out, you know, could Caleb go to Belfast Met and do all these courses? And they said, oh, well, no, he needs to, you know, the courses which would be more mainstream, I suppose, there would be IT and music. I stupidly thought he could just do whatever he wanted. And they said, no, he would need GCSEs or need qualifications. But the stream that would cover Caleb, there is only 24 places this year. So it's not a lot for all the special schools in the area. So you might have 24 children or young people at 19 coming through one school alone. So that model, in my mind, needs to be replicated.
Who decides who gets any of those 24 places? What's the criteria?
I don't know exactly.
That's worth looking into, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I think you go and visit Belfast Met and then you fill out the application. And I will say that Michael Patterson runs that area and he's fantastic and it seems like a brilliant model.
Well, why don't we get in touch with Michael and try to bring that information to everybody tomorrow? I think it's a fair question. If there's such a limited number of places and huge demand for them, how is Michael and his team deciding who gets one of those places and who doesn't?
Yes. Okay. And then, I think, you know, there's a lot of children who so Caleb would have a lot of communication difficulties, so he would need a lot of support. And the problem is when you need that level of support, our children and my son cannot travel independently anywhere. So even if he was to be offered a morning here, a morning there, I wouldn't be able to work because you have to travel with him and pick him up.
So what do you need? You said that Michelle O'Neill's backing you. Look, and we heard all of these parties, every one of them, DUP, Sinn Féin, Ulster Unionist Party and So Goes On Alliance, talking about the benefits of Stormont. So what do you think Stormont could reasonably, realistically deliver?
Legislation that protects our young people. For years now, there has been documentation sitting on shelves, that reports that are done. They know what needs to happen. We need the legislation to hold them to it. And that's what I firmly believe. So even if the current statement of educational needs goes to 19, I would like to see that at the very least extended to 25. I mean, you know, a lot of our children's, our disabilities are lifelong. Really, ideally, we want them for life. But at the very interim, right now, I'm saying there are young people that this September don't have anywhere to go. So,
Alma, thank you very much indeed. Thank you for talking to us today. You might remember Caroline Devenny, who was on the programme yesterday, talking about her son, Harry, who needed a place for children with special educational needs. Caroline, good morning.
Hi, Stephen. Morning.
You've got an update.
We do have an update, Stephen. We got formal notification this morning that Harry will be going to Oakwood in South Belfast, close to our home. So we are just absolutely delighted. I'm sure you can hear the difference in my voice between yesterday and today.
Absolutely, I can.
So just to
remind people what your story was, you said that the principal of Harberton had written to you telling you that your son Harry had a place and that the Education Authority had then contacted you to say that wasn't happening, but they wouldn't explain why it wasn't happening.
That's correct, yes.
So what happened after we aired all of that on yesterday's show?
So then we had a place in, you know, in Balnahinch, which just wasn't suitable with all Harry's medical needs. And then the EA then reached out to me with this new offer then for Oakwood in South Belfast.
They phoned you, did they?
They did phone me, yes.
Did they apologise to you for how they treated you up until yesterday?
Well, they said, look, we're delighted we've been able to find in this place. And, you know, they have interacted a lot better with me. So the reality is, Stephen, you know, I've had to go to you to get this. And I want to thank you and your team for listening to Harry's case and me.
So what do you pay your licence fee for? Standard response from me. You pay that 100-odd quid a year.
That
you know, our job is to elevate your voice. Our job is to make you as loud as possible with these people. If they ignore you, if they don't treat you properly, then that 100 quid buys you par, if we can make it powerful for you.
Yes. You know, this is more than a school place. You know, this is getting Harry the specialist care that he needs, you know, in the right school with the right staff and expertise. So we're just so happy today, you know, and I would say to other parents, you know, your instinct is not to give up. You know, the system is so broken, but our kids have rights to an education. You know, education isn't just a right. It's a right, not a privilege. So thank you.
Well, have you told Harry?
We have, yes. We have, and we're out celebrating today. So
fantastic.
Yes, we're over the moon. Thank you.
Fantastic. Caroline, thank you very much indeed. We still want an answer from the Education Authority. What happened? Why did they not communicate with this parent better? Why did they tell him that the Harberton place was not available? What is the system where a school principal writes to a child and says a place is available, and then the Education Authority says it isn't? And all of the impact that that will have on a family, and particularly on a child. And we still want that answer from the Education Authority. We will write to them today, we will contact them today, and we'll let you know what they say on tomorrow's programme. Let's come back to our top story today. Sinn Féin candidate for Fermanagh and South Tyrone, Pat Cullen, has failed this morning to condemn the murder of nurses, despite Pat Cullen heading up the Royal College of Nursing throughout the UK until just a matter of months ago. She was asked this question by Diana Armstrong, the UUP candidate for Fermanagh and South Tyrone. And this is how it unfolded on Good Morning Ulster today.
Look, I've been clear. The alternative has been the Good Friday Agreement and the peace process. And look, I have worked as a nurse. I've said this as a community psychiatric nurse during the darkest, darkest days of our conflict in this north. And I never want to see us returning there. What the people are saying to me on the doorsteps of Fermanagh South Tyrone is, let's look to the future, bring hope, bring prosperity, bring change along to the people. They want to see us doing that, and I will do it.
You're shaking your head, Diana Armstrong. You've got 30 seconds.
I'm thinking of the nurses who perished in the Enniskillen bomb and the Oma bomb, and I think we have yet to hear a condemnation of those two extreme attacks within this district. So, no, I'm not convinced. I've asked for clarification from Pat Cullen on her stance as to Sinn Féin and their affiliation with the IRA, and I'd like to hear a condemnation of those atrocities.
10 seconds.
Look, I've said very clearly, those were very dark days as a community nurse. I've held the hands of many people that have lived through those periods. I've felt, I've heard, and I've seen their trauma. I've seen what it does to them. Let's not go back there. Let's move forward and bring prosperity and hope to the people.
Chris in Belfast, there's been huge reaction to this today on The Nolan Show. Morning to you, Chris.
Morning, Stephen. I've spoken to you about this topic before, and it grinds my gears whenever this stuff comes up, especially from politicians. I'm not naive enough to think we ever probably get past this anytime soon, but Pat Cullen is not going to do with Enniskillen or Oma, and I don't see what our condemnation actually really does for victims. So I'm a victim myself. A condemnation from a politician won't do anything for me.
What happened to you, Chris?
Well, I lost my father in the Troubles. I spoke to you about this quite recently, about another. There was a hoo-ha about John Finnegan at one stage, and I spoke to you about this. So, and it was a long time ago. It was in 1986. But what's the point in a politician getting asked a question about something that happened in 1986? Especially, and I, and like I said, I'm not naive enough.
But it is the obvious context, Chris, is that in the Enniskillen bomb, a number of nurses were killed. So the obvious question was for Pat Cullen in the context of someone who for many years had fought for and so powerfully represented nurses throughout the UK.
Yeah, so, the context isn't lost on me, Stephen, but the context of moving on, I think, is lost on a lot of people who are probably jumping on this for their own reasons. And I'm always doubtful of a politician when they jump on a let's condemn this for the victims, because the vast majority of politicians here have been involved in all of this stuff over the years, one way or another.
The vast majority of politicians have not been involved in violence. What do you mean?
I'm talking about the whole scenario. The vast majority of our politicians have been involved in that in one way or another. Whether it was involved in it while there was conflict, involved in it while they were trying to transition out of conflict and get peace agreements and all that stuff.
Someone's just texted me. Let me get your reaction to this. So someone's just texted me, maybe about 9:30 or so. And they said, can you imagine if David Cameron's response to the Bloody Sunday Inquiry report had been, those were dark days, but we need to look to the future?
I get that. That's a very different scenario. It's a very different scenario because we're talking about actual state forces who have responsibilities and all that jazz. Nobody's going to ever condemn what happened with paramilitaries whenever they're standing in a party that's to it. It's just naive to think that they would. They just won't. So I don't know why we keep going back to that. Why not just move on? And from a victim's perspective, we couldn't care less what a politician condemns or doesn't condemn. In my own circumstances, personally, wouldn't make a plain bit of difference to me. But what really grinds my
gears? And obviously, you're entitled to your opinion. We heard at the very top of the Nolan Show this morning, Aileen, whose daughter Alberta was killed in the Enniskillen bomb, was murdered by the IRA, and she cares a lot.
I know, I'm sure she does, and I'm sure the last thing she needs is this being all dragged up and re-traumatised by it. Because Pat Cullen had nothing to do with that bombing, and I don't know what Pat Cullen condemning that actually does. Pat Cullen could probably be better judged on her actions as a nurse at the time, as she made the point that she probably, by her actions, she probably done more to support victims in the community. The nurse, never mind leading the nursing board.
But Michelle O'Neill, as the leader of Sinn Féin, Chris, and you're making very powerful points this morning. Michelle O'Neill, as the leader of Sinn Féin, chose to publicly say, present day, it was what, a year ago? Something like that? 2022. Chose to publicly say there was no alternative to the IRA's violence in the past. What does that do to victims? Then the context of, with that publicly stated position of present day leadership, Sinn Féin, when the head of a nursing organisation then joins that party, obviously it is in the public interest to ask that person, how do you feel about the murder of nurses?
Well,
Is it not in the public interest?
Don't get me wrong. I'm not a supporter of Sinn Féin. I'm not a supporter of murder from any side or anything like that. So, I can understand why what Michelle O'Neill said. Do I agree with it? Am I happy with it? Absolutely not. But then you're talking about context. So in the context of the Troubles, whether you like it or not, that's what they believed. They believed that there was an alternative for
And for whatever reason they believe that, whether it's right or wrong, whether you agree with it or disagree with it, I personally disagree with it.
Just let me make this final wee bit of the point, Stephen.
Michelle Mead wouldn't have said that had she not been asked it. And every time, and it's not just Michelle O'Neill, it happens to unionist politicians too, getting asked to condemn stuff from way back. Why not focus on where are we now? Why do we need to condemn stuff all these years
back? Does it not speak about who a person is by understanding what their values are, what their thoughts are, what their reflections on what's happened in their lives and our lives are? Yeah. Is it not the job of the media and indeed the public to understand who any of these people actually are when someone is deciding what their opinion is on a politician? Now, there's no doubt that Sinn Féin supported the violence that the IRA perpetrated in the past. But this was a specific question about nurses having been murdered, Chris.
Would you find it difficult
condemning the murder of a nurse?
No, I wouldn't find it difficult to condemn the murder of anyone. But what I'm saying to you is, when we're talking about context, why is that important right now? How many years ago Enniskillen was, 30, 40 years ago? What's the purpose in asking someone a question about that right now? Nobody would have asked
Beth, the nurse, answered that question for you from her perspective. Beth said that in her view, what Pat Cullen is doing is using her very good work that she did with nurses, representing nurses, as part of presenting to the public who she is and why people should vote for her. And Beth, who is a nurse, said, if she's doing that, then it's a fair question to ask her why she couldn't condemn the murder of a nurse, of a number of nurses.
I'm not saying it's an unfair question. I'm saying it's a pointless question, in my opinion, because it's just that cycle will never break. What happens in 100 years' time? Are we going to ask a politician to condemn something that happened?
What's the point of asking any politician ahead of an election anything about what they stand for then? What's the point?
Let's focus on. But Sinn Féin currently stand for moving forward. They're not.
Do they?
They're not.
Does Sinn Féin not support inquiries into the past? Does Sinn Féin not support inquiries into collusion?
I'm sure they do. They obviously do. But I think you're comparing apples and oranges, really, because those inquiries that are happening into people who were with the state. So you can't, in my opinion, can't compare what the state were doing as the state against what some paramilitary or...
But the callers that are questioning Pat Cullen this morning are not doing that. They're questioning a nurse. They're questioning someone who has said that she sat at the bedside of people and witnessed holding their hands and all that comes with that trauma, having seen the impact of violence. And yet she failed to condemn it this morning. Chris, let me say thank you. Colin put it down. Morning, Colin.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Colin.
Stephen, this weekend, throughout the six counties or Northern Ireland, nurses will be spat upon. They'll be punched. They'll be kicked. They'll be knocked to the ground. And Pat Cullen would condemn that without reservation. It's totally incomprehensible that she won't condemn the murder of nurses.
Well, you've heard our last caller saying it would be pointless. And clearly Sinn Féin have a position on the violence of the past. And all you could argue Pat Cullen was doing this morning, Colin, was aligning herself with Sinn Féin, the party she's joined, position that all murder was wrong, all death was wrong.
She didn't say that.
So when you've heard that interview, which we've played a number of times today, what impact did it have on you?
It's disgusting. She can't possibly put herself up for votes without condemning the violence against nurses.
Maybe she thinks she can make a difference for the future. She can't do anything in the past. Maybe she thinks she can. And she did out loud say that she never wants this society to go back to any of that of the past.
Well, if she thinks she can make a difference, why didn't she start with saying, I condemn the murder of nurses 20 years ago? This is within living memory. It wasn't 100 years ago. She could start by changing things by condemning the IRA violence, especially in her case of nurses.
Colin, thank you very much. Well, that story happened on Good Morning Ulster shortly after 8 o'clock this morning, and my goodness, what a significant reaction there's been from when we've come on air taking your calls at 9 today. Thank you for your company. We'll see you all in the morning. Have a good day.
Biggest show in the country. Listen again on BBC Sounds. Tweet @StephenNolan.